Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thegologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thegologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Ashika from New South Wales, Australia. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Well, hello, Ashika, you sweet angel. Come back to the Fakeologist audio chat. This is the Fakeologist speaking, otherwise known as Ab Arattle, Angry Man. I'm in the live stream with myself and StreamerBot. I'm waiting for Beirut Benoit and Rollick and Rollo. We're going to discuss the latest super big explosion in the Beirut. See who comes into the audio stream.
Now recording.
Hi everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. It is also worth mentioning that there is no other option to visit FakeoTube for all your video needs. Everything that might be or is already removed from YouTube, you might find it there. Welcome everyone. I am tonight for me, but it's still the day for him. I am with the Fakeologist himself, so hi Hab, how are you doing today? Apparently, it is not possible for him to unmute yet, so anyway, I wanted to...
I'm fine. Bonjour, monsieur. Comment ça va?
Bonsoir. I'm fine. I'm fantastic. At least, at the very least, something not corona-related happened. Finally.
Well, we need our small distractions now and then. We cannot talk about a phony virus all day long, all year long, every day, but unfortunately... If every scriptwriter is busy on coronavirus hoax, then you have to take what you get. Maybe
exactly.
This is going to be a small one, I don't know. Allow me to change my Bluetooth settings, if you don't mind.
No problem. So I will know...
Hey guys, I can't speak too loud. I can't speak too loud. But did you... That's me, Rollo.
Yes.
Welcome. Yeah, did you see the clouds?
Right,
I mean, that explosion was so massive. Did you see the clouds move?
I saw something in the media, but I wasn't in Beirut at the time. I just left.
I've looked at all the footage, and the bloody clouds. It was so massive, that explosion.
Did you read the post on fakeologist.com, the Rolls Royce of radio?
Well, can you read it for me? Can you read it for me now, please?
I'm busy right now. Can you read it? You just go to fakeologist.com/blog, and you might see something interesting there.
I did read a part of it already, but I can read the rest of it live.
Well, read it to Rollo because he can't read.
Yes. So what do we get? We get the video, firstly.
Well, what's the title of my post?
Real, fake, or hybrid?
Right. I just looked at it right now. I have given the story exactly 30 seconds of analysis. That's it. I don't have any other analysis for you on that.
Yes, just to make it clear for the audience what we are speaking about, because we did not mention it already, that apparently gigantic explosion that happened earlier in the day in the port of Beirut, Lebanon. And to give a bit of overview on the general situation in Lebanon, Lebanon is currently facing one of the biggest financial crises, if not the biggest, of their short existence. And apparently the issue is that there is absolutely no dollar left in the country, and the money is continued to be devaluated almost on a daily basis. So that's what I know about the situation in Lebanon.
That is a big problem.
To get savings, yes. Exactly, it's a terrible problem. And there was last December already a French guy named Pierre Jovanovic, which is an economist and a specialist of economic question. He was already mentioning the fact that there was footage of people fighting in front of a bank in Lebanon, that the withdrawal limits were lowered and everything like that. So apparently the country is under massive stress and there is a big crisis. And this guy, Pierre Jovanovic, was saying that this crisis was engineered to drive out Hezbollah out of Lebanon and back into Iran.
All right, I'm back.
Yes. So, yes, what I mentioned is that this French guy, Pierre Jovanovic...
Sorry, guys. My wife has told me to shut the fuck up. So it's the middle of the night here, so
What a coincidence. We were just about to say the same thing, because you just talked on top of Jared. Stupid dumbass.
All right, I'll be quiet. One
thing about you, nothing bothers Rollo when it comes to interrupting. What were you saying before you were stomped on?
No problem there. It's something
that guy's unbelievable. I know, he's something else.
Anyway,
as long as you don't take offense.
No, I'm undefendable. As long as no one is mentioning my kids, we are fine, I think.
I agree. Don't make it personal, and that's enough. You can talk about just about anything else.
Exactly. So this guy, Pierre Jovanovic, which is a French guy, that was saying for years that the 2008 financial crisis was not solved. He started speaking a bit about Lebanon in early December. He was saying that there was a bank run, that money was losing value fast and everything like that. And he was saying that the political undertone of that crisis was to drive out of Lebanon the Hezbollah, which is, as everyone know, an ally of Iran, supposedly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything about Beirut today. I really have. It's just not in the media. I wouldn't even know it's still there. It could have slipped into the Mediterranean. I wouldn't know. So this is the first time Beirut has hit the media in a long time. Now, I did post, I don't know if you're noticing, on FakoTube, because I never know who looks at what. But I've been posting videos from Anna Breeze's YouTube channel of allegedly real people talking about what they think is going on, which I find fascinating. And the last guy, I don't know if I posted it yet. I might have not. I have so many to do, it's hard to keep up. But one guy was blathering on about the financial reset as well, and how he said this corona virus hoax is just a cover for another financial reset. The only thing I thought he left out was the technocracy angle, because to me that explains a lot. We're not going into socialism, communism. We're going into a technocracy dictatorship like in China. That makes sense to me.
Yes, but in my opinion, that was brought up by the economic crisis of 2008, because in Europe, for example, the big start, the big wave, the start of the head of government that were technocrats, were economists brought up by the financial crisis, and that kind of softened the population to the idea to bring specialists to treat a specific crisis. So, in my opinion, the real beginning of technocracy in Europe is the economic, the guy from the economy, like the Mario Draghi, the guy that was the head of Goldman Sachs that ended up at in Greece, all those people that were really technocrats, but in the economical sense. And I think that they gave way to the medical technocrats, if you want.
Yeah, well, it's I still keep to the idea that this is a medical dictatorship coup, but there are so many other elements to it. It's not just one thing. Once you've got the entire world by the balls, you can do whatever you want. So if they want to bring a authoritarian, capitalistic technocracy, something that people really don't know about, really, most people will never be able to define technocracy, then that's what they could do. And that's what I think they are trying to do in so many ways. And that's what this particular person, I forget his name, that did this 10-minute video, is trying to say.
One of them is Rollo's brother. Definitely, Rollo, you should really look into that guy, because he's definitely looking like you.
He was
64 years old guy from the UK. He was definitely looking a lot like Rollo.
Okay.
Hey guys, can I just bust in? I've been watching that Anna Breeze
channel. You just did.
Yeah, that Anna Breeze channel. I've been watching it. Dave Cullen from Computing Forever put me onto that. She's doing
I put you onto that. You know, it's funny. You say you're a fakeologist, and all you do is talk about Dave Cullen.
Oh, sorry.
I put you on.
Sorry. Anna Breeze.
Do you ever look at my website?
What's she doing?
I know you can't hear me, but do you ever look at my website? That you puzzle me a lot. You're one of the funniest.
Yeah, of course I do. Okay. I mean,
you can't, because I've been posting Anna Breeze's stuff for 3 days now.
I get through Discord exactly the same way Rick does. Rick does through General, you know.
Yeah. So you don't go to my website. That's all I want to know. Thank you. Okay, yes.
Right,
go ahead.
Hang up on
Anna
me.
Breeze.
Right. Okay, bye. Bye.
See you later.
So I have been watching a lot of the small Anna Breeze videos, and the general consensus seems to be that masks are useless and they are a tool of social control. And I think that's a good sign, but that's only a small part of the population. That's a good thing to see, but that's sad in a way. Because
the only good thing about Anna Breeze is it to me, even though she's probably editing it, she says she's not, it gives me an idea of what everyone else thinks about. Because when we're in our fakeologist bubble, we are not really talking to regular everyday people, most of us. Some of us are. Maybe you are. But when you talk to fakeologists all day long, you don't know what the average person is thinking. That's why I like watching her stuff, because the PSYOP is not for us. It's for everybody else. And if everyone else is convinced they need a mask because we're all toxic, then we need to know that, because that's who we're dealing with.
Yes. Yes, and you cannot,
that's why I love the channel.
Exist, yes, and you cannot exist outside of society. We have to interact with people. And in the end, that's also a question of sensitivity. I mean, of course, we all know that the virus is bullshit, but does that mean that I get to discount other people's fear? Because supposedly I'm more, what can I say, that informed than they are, and I know the reality of it. In the end, in some social setting, I will have to wear a mask, and that's how it is. If I can avoid it, I will do the best I can, but you cannot go against the flow every time, you know? There is a breaking...
John LeBron just put up a video on the Beirut bombing. He's on the case.
Definitely.
Do you want to play it?
Why not? So... Where can I... Okay, so it's probably on his YouTube channel, I will figure.
Are you subscribed to his YouTube channel? Because I just got the email. Just came in.
I don't use any account for anything Google-related or Facebook or those things.
Okay, would you like me to see if I can post it? And I'm driving, so you're going to have to play it.
I get it.
You got it?
So it's 7 minutes long, but don't bother me.
Well, you can start and stop it. You don't have to play it all the way through. You can stop it, and we can talk about it. But at least it gives us a jumping off point for discussion.
Definitely. Yes, because we got a bit sidetracked about this Anna Breeze thing. But it's very interesting.
Well,
and it gives me a sense of hope to see that more common people than us are thinking the same in the end.
Well, listen, Benoit, what choice do they have?
Well, it's either wear a mask or get a fine, so in the end.
No, my point is, you don't need an opinion on 9/11. You don't need an opinion on the moon hoax. You don't need an opinion on Oklahoma. You don't need an opinion on the shootings of the day, because that's in the past. That's history. And most people don't even like history or historical thing. But what we're in the middle of a PSYOP, so you have to have an opinion on it. Everyone in the world.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Everyone in the world has to have an opinion on this. Even your grandmother's grandmother. They have to.
Yes.
Everyone's being affected by it. Nobody today, especially under 30, has an opinion on 9/11. Why would they? It's like World War II. It's irrelevant to them.
Yes, it doesn't matter. And the thing is that for a certain historical hoax, like for example the gas chamber, there is a push to maintain the story afloat, if you want. For 9/11, it's a bit different because there is always the undertone, the memory of it, but it's not that much discussed anymore. It's just a symbol, and there is no attempt to really revive it or anything.
That's because everyone has adjusted to the massive security industry that was created by it. Everyone is adjusted to it. They've already factored it into their daily lives, their airport travel. Of course, you can't go to the airport anymore, really. But everyone's adjusted. So it's moved society to where they want it in the security business. And now we're in the next phase, the medical security business and the global ID business. That's the next business that we're all suffering through now.
Yes. But at this point, to give you an idea of the situation in my neck of the woods, I was at a friend's birthday on Saturday on a boat that they use as a bar in Geneva. And of course, I was asked to register. But the thing is that you just get to write your name, your chosen name, at the very least on some piece of paper. So So you can write whatever.
Yes,
you want.
Jairus, that's today. Wait till next month when...
Oh yes, definitely.
That's today. That's just to get you to get in the check-in mode. But that won't work in a few months, guaranteed.
Yes.
You'll be definitely using your COVID
pass. Produce an ID that will be scanned.
You'll need your COVID pass.
Yes.
That is gonna. I don't know how fast that's coming. That can't be far away, though. I'd say within a year.
Yes, definitely. Definitely, people
the
are
signing. Yeah, I know the signing in thing where you can put anybody's name and phone number. That's just to get you conditioned to the idea that you need to check in.
Yes, exactly. Because that's what happened in the hotel, for example. In the hotel, in the beginning, you just had to sign whatever name you wanted. Someone really asked you a piece of ID or whatever, and now the list is sent.
Well, every hotel I've gone to in the last couple of years, and I usually go to just the cheap motels because I'm cheap, but they always ask for a credit card. They don't even think twice about it. And they always want to know your home address. Why is that? What do you do for that? Because do you give your home address and a credit card every time you check in a hotel?
No, you give your ID paper and a credit card. Or you pay in cash if you want. But anyway, you will have to produce a valid ID for each and every
I'm talking about when you check in, do you got to put cash on the barrel? You got to pay up front? You don't have a credit card?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And you also have to produce an ID.
Okay.
But
do they need your home address? Is that what they're trying to get?
Not really, but they ask you your home address under the disguise that... If, for example, you are from a different region that the hotel is in, you might pay a little bit less. Because apparently... Like,
hold on a sec. So you said they don't need your home address, but then you said you have to give your home address. Which is...
They asked you for it, but you don't really have to give them if you don't want to.
Okay.
But they have your ID anyway. But it's a different system because, for example, in Switzerland, you are supposed to have your ID card at the very least on you at each and every time.
Oh, you have an ID card in Switzerland? We don't have that.
Okay.
See, we don't know. We don't have that here. But we don't have...
Okay.
Why would you need so you can't walk around Switzerland without an ID card?
That's not the best thing to do, but you can always go around that situation. But the thing is that the ID card, it's not as good as a passport. But for example, I can travel to Turkey with just a Swiss ID card. I don't even need a passport for that, so...
Yeah, okay. Well, I know you're a bit of a anarchist in the sense that you don't really like following government rules, so I'm kind of surprised you have an ID card.
The thing is that you have to have it in so many situations in Switzerland. It's impossible. Between the age of 27 to 29, I didn't really have any ID card at any time. I didn't even was registered into the insurance system here, which is mandatory. But it's impossible to live around that situation. I mean, if you get
a
health issue and you end up in an hospital, it's just a pain in the ass. And you lose time. So As anarchist as I am, I recognize the need and the easiness to get out of any situation, like
I think if anyone knows how to get around that, it would be you. So.
There is always a way to get around that, but the thing is that sometimes it's easier and faster to just present an idea and get out of it easier. And also it's required in many, many, many things. Like, for example, if you want to enter the casino, they have to scan your ID. You cannot enter a casino freely just by going into the door. You have to go to the guy, show your ID, and scan on the machine. And if it's not valid, I think that they know it on the second. So.
All right,
it's
okay.
Totally different around here. It's very, very, totally, it's totally different. You can always talk your way out of certain situation, but without an ID, it's very, very difficult to live a normal day-to-day life.
Okay. Can I give you a little teaser? Do you know who I talked to this morning?
You talked to Cam, I think.
That was yesterday, last night.
Yes, I did listen to it. But the next one I did not know about.
Well, I haven't posted the next one because Chris Kendall's sister finally called me.
Oh, excellent, because you did speak a bit about Chris Kendall with Cam. Rather, she spoke about Chris Kendall.
Yes. Well, we talked for about an hour, and I hope it recorded because it was on the phone. So as soon as I get back to World Headquarters of Fakeologists, I'm going to see if I can grab the recording.
Excellent. Excellent, yes. So that situation was not really mentioned anymore, but it's always good to have some information. And she said that
she actually registered on the Fakeologist site.
Excellent.
I haven't posted her. Her introduction was rather small, but I'll put it on there. But yeah, she registered on the site, and she says she'll participate, which is great.
Excellent.
But
it's great.
So obviously,
not in contact with the people that were operating Hotbuster just before Chris passing.
I have no idea who she has talked to, but all I can say is anyone that because she is not really a Fakeologist, and because she is female, of course, I just ask that the people that talk to her or interact with her be respectful and not insulting.
Yes,
so I won't put up with that. So.
Yes, if she were to be Dev J on her first live recording, that would be distasteful, to say the least.
Well, yeah, you have to be, as much as I don't like people that wear a mask, I understand why they do, so. It's just, unfortunately, disrespectful to challenge them, so it's not worth it, because that's their, you may as well argue about their religious beliefs, because that's what the mask has developed into, so even I have to bite my tongue on certain things. So anyone that encounters her should be respectful. And
yes.
If she decides to come on the Discord again, I think she was on for 5 minutes, and you know what happened.
Yes. But let's leave it at that and listen to the great John LeBon on this Lebanon thing.
Go ahead.
The Abu 11 here, guys. We're getting unconfirmed reports that at this bombing in Beirut, there was involvement of some unidentified flying objects, UFOs, that was seen flying near the bombing, just as it happened. This is breaking news. As you can see, we've got these unidentified objects that seem to be fleeing the scene of the bombing. Don't want to say too much yet. It's all unconfirmed, but it does look as though there may be extraterrestrial involvement in the bombings of Beirut. Do you like my Darby Sydney impersonation? Most of you
try and crank him up a bit.
I do what I'm talking about. For those of you who were around 5 years ago, 7 years ago in the YouTube True scene, you know what I'm talking about. Good old Darby 7. What happened to him? Is he still streaming? I can't really do very good American accents, to tell you the truth. I think he's American. I don't know. But anyway, good old Darby 7. In fact, get this. I know somebody who believes that Darby 7 is actually Heath Ledger. Can you believe that? I'm not joking. In fact, one of the most intelligent people I know who I've ever interviewed, and I've interviewed so many people doing these podcasts for like 5, 6 years, whatever it's been, one of the most intelligent people I've met, truly believes that Darby 7 may be, in fact, Heath Ledger. We might come back and talk about that later. But no doubt you've heard the news about this Beirut bombing, and I don't think those are unidentified flying objects. Although they do kind of look a little bit like what we saw in Independence Day, starring Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum. So maybe
wow,
there has been
funny.
Some involvement in this, possibly. I don't know. It's all unconfirmed at this point. But no doubt you've heard the news. You can even see it being covered live. Check this out. Oh, dear. That's no good. It would appear that perhaps some people may have died or got hurt. I don't know. I've only just heard about this news myself. What I find interesting about these bombings, though, is that they're getting world news already, and they only happened, what, an hour or two ago, a couple of hours ago? I don't know. But this is probably going to be big world news. Who's behind it? We don't know yet. This might be one of those baby hoaxes that comes and goes, and people forget about it. This could be the start of something truly big. And as I look at this footage, I can't help but think it does kind of look a little bit like the footage from September 11, you know, the burning wreckage and all the rest of it. Here's what gets me. Here's what I want to talk about. We've just finished a full moon. The moon was full, what, 24 hours ago? Something like this, okay?
In fact, I didn't know that.
At 6:58 p.m. on August 3 in Beirut. This event that we're looking at would have happened 1 day later. 1 day later, 1 day after the full moon. And you might say, well, who cares? That's not a big deal. I would agree with you, probably. But there's more to it than that, because also in the night sky, this is Beirut as well, you've got Jupiter and Saturn aligned together, kind of pointing towards the moon. Now, just bear with me. Some of you are like, JLB, what the hell are you talking about, man? You've been cruising around Asia for 18 months. You've been stuck in KL for 6 months, man, cooped up in a little studio apartment, leading a very monotonous life, it has to be said. I think you're losing your brain, man. I think you've lost your mind. Okay, that's possible. I'm open-minded. Hopefully you are as well, because there's more to it. So we've got Jupiter, and we've got Saturn, and we've got the moon. Again, this is a view from Beirut, and you can check this for yourself with Stellarium. This is set to be what you would see, kind of, here in Beirut. As you can see, Jupiter, Saturn, kind of lined up with the full moon. Yeah, all of this taking place in the space of 24 hours, not even. All very interesting, if you ask me. Some people believe that the night sky is outer space. Space and the night sky are the same thing. When you look at a star, you're looking at a big ball of gas or something millions of miles away. That's what they believe. I used to believe that too. Believe it or not, I used to believe that. Yes, I did. I don't believe it anymore. Many of you do not believe this anymore. We do not believe in this place called outer space. That's not a real place. It's complete science fiction.
Oh, what? What do you mean you don't believe in space? Everyone...
Yeah, everyone does believe in space. Almost everyone does believe in space. I used to be one of them. I used to tell you that. But there's a lot of people now, we don't believe in space, man, because we realized we've never been there, we can never go there. They keep, the authorities keep telling us, oh yeah, no, we can go there soon. Another 10 or 20 years and you can go there, sure. Bro, I'm almost 33 years old, okay? When I was a kid, they were telling us the same story. They just keep telling the same story, generation after generation. Oh yeah, guys, we get to go there soon. No, we don't, that's not real. There is no place to go to. Outer space is in fact a hoax. So that leads us to wonder, what's the deal with the night sky? Is it significant? Is there something else going on there? Esoterically. That is there some kind of information that could be gleaned if only we paid attention to what was going on? My answer is yes, I think there could be something going on here. Now, am I here to tell you that this UFO explosion of Beirut has been caused by the alignment of the night sky? Is that going to tell you? No. I'm saying I'm open-minded to it. So what I want to do is get your opinion in the comment section below. Well, what do you think about this Beirut bombing? What do you think about the bombing itself? What do you think about the suggestion that there's been some UFO involvement involving spacecraft that do look suspiciously similar to Independence Day, starring Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum, among other people. Bill Pullman was in there as well. Excellent performance as the president, I have to say. I haven't seen that film for a long time. Anyway, so what do you think about the explosion? Do you think that's real? What do you think about the UFOs? Do you think they're real? What do you think about Darby 7? Do you think he's in fact Heath Ledger? If you're a member of JohnTheBomb.com, you know what I'm talking about. I had an interview with a guy. I've had 3 interviews with this guy, actually. He has a heap of ideas that sound crazy until you chat with him, and all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't believe that Heath Ledger is Darby 7, but I'm open-minded. I'm an open-minded guy. So you tell me in the comments, what do you think about this explosion? Is it real? What do you think about this these specks of blackness? Do you think they're just random specks? They could be. I don't know. What do you think about the alignment of the night sky? What do you think about that? And you leave your comments in the comment section below. While I've got your attention, if you're on the JLB mailing list, I just sent out the latest JLB mailing list. Email. That includes 4 hours worth of member calls that used to be just for members, now available to you. 2 times 2 hour calls available to you right now. Check your inbox, check your spam folder. If you use Gmail or Hotmail, oftentimes they'll automatically send mailing list emails to the spam folder. So go and check your spam folder and you're going to find 2 times 2 hour member calls that used to be just for members. You've now got access right away. And a member video. a one plus hour member view where I talk about this coronavirus and what's really going on and how come all of these science fiction shows seem to predict it. Many people don't even know about these science fiction shows that seem to predict it.
Well, that was the great John Le Bon. As always, I think that he's putting at the end because I think that's fair enough if I'm using his content.
No, I know. Are you on his mailing list?
That's all. But the thing is that the reaction from the usual suspect of anything that is happening in Lebanon. So the country, the Israeli foreign minister, Gabi Ashkenazi, told Israeli N12 television news that the explosion was most likely an accident caused by a fire. So if Golden Skidmark was worried about the Jews, that is not them apparently this time.
Well, he's always worried about them, but I watched the video just before I got on this call, and that's the first thing I thought about was Independence Day, because the way that the cloud pattern emanated from the original fire, I thought it was definitely special effects. Now, that doesn't mean that the original burning fire was special effects, but maybe the whole thing was special effects. That's the first thing I thought about. And apparently it knocked the guy over who was videoing it that put it on Twitter. So that's what I thought about now.
There are many videos of the explosion.
The latest thing I heard about was that it was an ammonium nitrate bomb, which is a fertilizer diesel bomb, which we're told took out the Murrah building in Oklahoma City way back in 1995. So that got me thinking, did they let Terry Nichols out of Flomax jail? Because allegedly Timothy McVeigh, they allegedly lethally injected him, so he's out of the picture.
Yes. And all that based on the stupid book called Turner Diary that I read many years ago. And everything is so convenient.
Yeah.
At least one explosion, so maybe there were more than one explosion.
Well, I'm sure if this is a phony story, which it most likely is, since it went worldwide, that the versions of the story will come out in many, many layers.
Yes.
Guys, I think it's a distraction. It's a distraction from this coronavirus. I used to work in an ammonium nitrate plant. And I remember the Timothy McVeigh thing from 1995. All ammonium nitrate bombs can do is make a crater. They're a crater bomb.
Yes, but you
the 1995 thing, the Timothy McVeigh thing, there had to have been shape charges set in that building to bring the facade down like that. All they can do is break windows. I know. I've been a part of it. So,
did you ever light the ammonia nitrate in the factory that you worked on in fire to check it out?
I've never seen an explosion like I just saw. Oh, sorry. Hold on.
After the break.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dream, I have a plan.
And thank you, Gary G., the latest 9/11 supporter. Thank you very much, Gary G.
Thank you, Gary G.
I don't know who you are.
I've watched about 10 videos of this explosion in Beirut. Like, my God, it's incredible. The first one was a little one.
Is it real or fake?
There are so many videos that I've watched. It looks real to me, but it's up to you.
Does the 9/11 collapse look real? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did the 9/11 collapse footage look real to you?
Yes, it did. At the time.
Okay.
At the time. Yeah, so I think it could be real to you now?
Does it look real to you now, the 9/11 collapse footage? Because it looks pretty real to me.
It doesn't? Because it looks pretty good to me. It's model footage. It's not real.
Why do you think it's a model? It could be whatever is used for the best Hollywood footage. I don't see why. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be CGI. It could be models. It could be a combination. Because don't forget, the clips are spliced together six ways to Sundays. You know, as the camera switches angles, it could be cutting to a completely different type of special effect.
Good point.
Yeah.
My wife's going to cut my throat.
That's interesting.
I'll be back.
So yes, the footage.
It's like a comedy act. Him and his wife. He breaks out of his bedroom to interrupt us, and then his wife is used as the villain to get him out of the room.
Yes. So the footage.
It's like a
real definitely. The thing that is also an advantage in this day and age is that at each and every time in every city in the world there is at least 1,000 filming a certain angle at every time, you know.
Well, even with the cameras today, is that true? Are you always ready to take a video with your phone?
No, but I'm not someone normal. The camera of my cell phone is obturated at all times, so yeah, I have to remove the cover and then I can start filming.
How many people are ready to video? I agree. Today, it's a lot easier to video. It's just, you literally draw your phone out of your pocket or your holster and press fire, and you can get video. It's pretty fast. And that's probably why that Anna Bree's video channels should be easy to collect lots of videos, because you can do some really great recording with a device you already have. You don't have to go buy a camera. You already have one.
Yes.
I just wondered, would you be busy videoing an explosion, or would you be busy running away from it?
I would be busy running away and calling everyone I love, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Maybe some people that are younger, they just want to be part of something and make the next viral video.
According to that video, the explosion knocked the guy over. And who knows how far
the
away
one
he
that was on some kind of a terrace. He was
Twitter.
Like on a lounge bar or something like that.
Well, yes, what you told me at the beginning about Beirut and Lebanon, about their financial situation, of course, I would never know about that. So if they're just trying to do some kind of financial reset for Lebanon, and maybe it really needs one, then this is just a distraction.
They definitely need every kind of distraction they can get, but yes, the financial situation is terrible. I think that the price...
I guess when you live in the West like we do, when you live in the West like we do, where the financial situation is pretty much stable, we buy bananas for $3, and the next week they're $3, and the next month they're $3. It doesn't ever go that they're $3 today and tomorrow they're $500. So I guess, in a way, we're lucky that we have stability of our finances in the West. What would happen if bananas went 10 times tomorrow? It would be a real problem for almost everybody, wouldn't it?
Yes, but that wouldn't be a big problem for me. I will just have to be a banana thief. That's about it. It's a
Ab, leave Freely out of this. Leave Freely out of this.
Well, I'd like to bring her into it. I like her. Rollo just sort of reaches in.
So, yes, what I was saying is that if the price of goods are getting too high, there will be more thievery, shady dealing, and everything. But the thing is that the only reason I may have some more information about Lebanon is because many of the people there are speaking French, so there is a...
Is that right?
Between French
was
and
it ever
Lebanon.
A French colony?
It was founded by the French. It was designed, if I am correct, but don't quote me on that, after World War I. The border was designed and everything. It was discussed in France. And it is tied with the famous story of Lawrence of Arabia. If the name is right. Lawrence d'Arabie in French. So everything is tied because there was some negotiation with the... It might have already been the SDN, the Society of Nations at the time, the precursor of the UN. And I think that the negotiation...
The League of Nations. Yeah.
Yes.
You call that the Society of Nations? Yeah, League of... Yes. Society.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
so
pretty interesting.
So, is that the League of Nations kind of the distributed influence zone for the British and the French and everyone in Europe that wanted or that have the power to ask for it. And I think that it's at that point that the country was designed, because that's how it happened.
You know, I'm asking this quite frankly. Would a country like Lebanon, that seems to always be in a financial mess, a religious mess, a factions mess, would they benefit from the New World Order, where the management of the money is taken away from them, the management of the economy is taken away from them, and it's literally managed by some guy in Switzerland, not you, but some technocrat, just to put stability into the country where they're just not constantly fighting each other or blackmailing each other? What do you think?
No, because if we take the historical example that we have, as in the Soviet Union, for example, which means a centralized government that is making decisions for places that are so far away, it's not even possible to imagine, but that never worked that way. The people at the top, the technocrats, like you say, that are living in Zurich or Geneva or Basel, whatever, and making decisions, they don't even have a read on the situation. Even with the best advisor they can get, they will never have the feel of the terrain.
But would that be better than what they have now, though? Because they have chaos. I'm not a globalist, but I'm just trying to see from the globalist point of view. They see a wild jungle atmosphere, and George Bush says we need to bring the law, rule of law, not the law of the jungle. And when most Americans, like me, think of countries like Lebanon, we think it's a jungle.
Yes, but that's a jungle because of Iran. It's a jungle because of Israel. It's a jungle because of the European. You know what I mean? It's because of all those wealthy people that are putting in their interest in some places and financing.
Is it just them? No. So you're saying it has nothing to do with the local people on the ground, the governments that are corrupted by outside forces?
To give you an example, the airport in Beirut is operated by the Hezbollah.
Okay.
So by an Iranian proxy. So just that give you, I think, if you come into the country, just that will give you a feel that there isn't much that the Lebanese are controlling in their destiny, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but as I see it, maybe they need less globalism and less foreign intervention. And yes, maybe they just need to have their real freedom and be free from the exterior rules, as in specifically Iran and Israel that are using Lebanon as Korea was used by the Soviet Union and the USA at one point. If you want.
Well, I don't know. That's the argument for globalization, because these places would they rather have hyperinflation or hyperdeflation or whatever monetary problems they have, or would they rather have a stable economy where you know whatever you make today would you could spend tomorrow and have enough money and live?
I think, in the end, maybe the way they should go is just say fuck off to the central, the World Bank, and try to establish relation with neighboring country in some fair trade and do everything they can to get the situation better by saying fuck off to the World Bank and their measure. Because in the end, that was the case for Greece, for example. The hit that was taken by Greece, it was mainly because in the end, the people at the top of the government were following the World Bank rule. That was saying you should do that, that, and that, and that was not the way the Greeks were living, and that is probably not the way to do in Lebanon. So, in the end, the economical condition of the country is mostly reliant on the World Bank, because if you are already in a dire situation, they will say, okay, we will give you all the money.
Can I bust in for a tiny little bit more?
Yes.
I just think that they don't the global elite don't want disposable income. They want serfs, and then they want themselves. They don't want a middle class. That's all it is. That's my opinion.
Yeah. But we're talking about Lebanon, though.
Yes. And
No. But we were talking about the money system. All the global elite want. Yeah.
So. Also, the fact is that maybe the economical crisis in Lebanon is less felt than it would be in Canada, for example. because Lebanese are merchants, and in some country in South America, for example, many of big businesses...
Are they still merchants? They might have been merchants. Are they in 2020? What are they now?
Because
I don't...
Supposedly,
they are all... I think 20 years later, we can't really judge a nation by what it used to be, necessarily.
No, definitely not. But I think that it's common knowledge that there is a huge Lebanese community in South America that made very, very good business decisions at the time. So I figure that those people are still rich and that they are in some kind of way helping the people in the country. Like, for example, Mexicans are doing for the Mexican economy when they are in the USA or in Canada.
Well, yeah, they always send money back home, but...
Yes, and I don't figure that many Canadians...
Not enough money to revolutionize and change the country. They just send survival money usually back.
Yes.
Well, I don't know anything about Lebanon. I don't know anything about Lebanon. The explosion looks fake, as Independence Day looks fake. And other than that, I don't really think aliens did it. I don't know why John Le Bon brings that up. Maybe it's just to, again, be provocative and get the YouTube audience to his channel. But
yes, but definitely not UFO. That might be the Israeli. That might be whoever. The thing is that Lebanon is one of the most troubled countries since inception, and that's how it is. No real surprise in the fact that there is trouble there. But
a big shout out to Colin Skidmark. Of course, it's Israel's involved. Israel's all over this. A big shout out to Colin.
The thing is that everything that is happening in that region...
And who created the state of Israel? The Britons, you fucking British. And I'm ashamed to be British. I'm ashamed that I'm British.
Rolo, did you hear that I talked to Chris Kendall's sister this morning?
Yeah, I am looking so forward to listening to that interview. Please, I hope that recorded okay, because...
That's going
to
be behind the paywall.
I'm definitely of the opinion that he passed away. Can you give us any? Yeah.
Well, she thinks he died too. That's your spoiler.
Okay, thank you, mate.
She's quite convinced of it.
Okay, I can't wait to listen to it.
And I did get a copy of the medical examiner's report.
And what did he do? He slipped off the ladder and punctured his leg or something and bled out.
My opinion is that it is better that we all listen to that specific call if it is recorded. And if you were unlucky enough and it wasn't recorded, maybe that time you might reveal what really happened. Because I figure you discussed this with her. Oh, and Abdu'a is back.
And I did get a copy of the medical examiner's report. Did you hear that?
Yes, definitely. So yes, what I was saying is that did you discuss the medical report with her directly?
No, I didn't let her know I had it because we were talking about everything else. But she did. I think she saw it as well, and she didn't think there was much to it. But she said it's hard to get information, even though it's her old brother. So and I tend to believe that it's hard. It is hard to get information. She didn't have any good things to say about where she lived and the police department. It's not a rich city that they lived in. Of course, she characterizes it as a shithole, and it's just a poor part of America, I guess. It's a military town. There's not tons of money there.
Yeah, where was it? Lachlan, Oklahoma? What was it?
Lawton.
Where you live? Lawton. Yeah, look, let me raise my glass. Let me raise my glass to Chris Kendall, because, like, I mean, I loved chatting with the guy. I loved the guy. He had balls of steel and, yeah. And
I also did talk to her.
I miss him.
I said to her that the coronavirus hoax may have pushed him over the edge in terms of his manicness. And looking at all these real people on Anna's channel, these people everyone is agitated beyond belief. Everyone.
Yeah.
People are very agitated. This is joke.
Can I just butt in?
No, not yet. You can't butt in. If you were manic, if you had bipolar issues where you're stable one time and just set off the next, then I can see Corona being very, very dangerous to you.
Sure. Did you suggest that Chris Kendall's sister, that he may have suicided? Did she?
No, because I don't know anything about him. I would never say that. That's
No. Self-deletion. Self-deletion is, this is when I read in the paper, like, yeah, or some of the things people have said, that he might have self-deleted.
No.
I doubt it. The guy was a very strong character, very, very, opinionated. And,
never came up. I never really thought that way. I guess maybe every possibility goes through one's mind, but.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was definitely really, I only say this because I listened to his last audio, one or two audios. I don't know which one it was, but you could tell he was very agitated by it. I think we were at the toilet paper stage when he was going crazy at that point, weren't we? Were we not, was that not
the toilet paper thing was just. I mean, again, I'll tell you a funny story. I mean, I know it's hard to find comedy in this. My wife said to me, Dan Andrews is going to stage 5 lockdown in Victoria. And my wife goes, what's stage 6? What's it called? 2 weeks without oxygen, you know? But let's take our oxygen away. I don't know. Oh, here we go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Laura Mars from The Jig Is Up, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Big shout out to Laura Mars from The Jig Is Up. Yeah.
Stage 6 is everyone wears a dunce cap and has to walk around in circles for 3 hours.
Good idea, man. At least you got a sense of humor. You got to have a sense of humor about this stuff because it really
can
get on top of you.
That's just how stupid the whole thing is. It's idiotic on every level. There's just no common sense to any of it.
No. And the not hypocrisy. What's the word I'm looking for? The inconsistencies where you can do one thing but you can't do the contradictions. That's the word. Thank you, Ab. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
Did you hear Anthony Fauci being interviewed by, I think his name is Jim something or other, or some congressional hearing, where the guy kept asking, listen,
tell me,
do you support demonstrations? Can you catch the virus through mass demonstrations? Mm-hmm. And do you support it? Because so Anthony Fauci basically says you can't sing in church, you can't do this, but the guy kept pressing him. And Anthony has not been well trained by political professionals where you learn how to just deflect questions and bounce them away and not answer them. So he was sweating pretty good, and I think the congressman really made him look like a fool. You should listen to the video, the audio on that.
Good. He's been really in charge of the CDC for fucking 50 years now, that cunt.
Yeah.
That cunt's been in charge of, he's in charge of the whole AIDS hoax. And how many people died because of that guy? That guy is a monster, an absolute monster, Anthony.
Oh yeah, if there is a devil, the only bigger one
is Bill Gates. Bill Gates.
Well, Anthony Fauci may have done more damage in his lifetime. If there's a devil in human form, he'd be it.
You know,
he'd be it. I think he probably has a forked tail. That's why he doesn't sit.
Do you want to listen to that specific exchange between Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates?
Yeah, Jared. Thank you, man.
Yeah, if you can find it, go.
Thank you, Ben.
Well done.
I already got it. Let's go.
The chair now recognizes for 5 minutes Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Fauci, do protests increase the spread of the virus?
Do protests increase the spread of the virus? I think I can make a general statement.
Well, 500,000 protesters on June 6th alone.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, that number of people, does it increase the spread of the virus?
Crowding together, particularly when you're not wearing a mask, contributes to the spread of the virus.
Should we limit the protesting?
I'm not sure what you mean. How do we say limit the protesting?
The government limit the protesting.
I don't think that's relevant to...
Well, you just said if it increases the spread of the virus, I'm just asking, should we limit it?
Well, I'm not in a position to determine what the government can do in a forceful way.
Well, you make all kinds of recommendations. You make comments on dating, on baseball, and everything you can imagine. I'm just asking, you just said protests increase the spread. I'm just asking, should we try to limit the protests?
No, I think I would leave that to people who have more of a position to do that. I can tell you.
Government stopping people from going to church, Dr. Fauci?
Yeah.
Last week in the Calvary Chapel case, five liberals on the Supreme Court said it was okay for Nevada to limit church services. Justice Gorsuch said it best. He said there's no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel. I'm just asking, is there a world where the Constitution says you can favor one First Amendment liberty protesting over another practicing your faith?
I'm not favoring anybody over anybody. I'm just making a statement that's a broad statement that avoid crowds of any type, no matter where you are, because that leads to the acquisition and transmission. And I don't judge one crowd versus another crowd. When you're in a crowd, particularly if you're not wearing a mask, that induces the spread.
It's a simple question, doctor. Should we limit the protest? Government is obviously limiting people going to church. And look, there's been no violence that I can see at church. I haven't seen people during a church service go out and harm police officers or burn buildings. But we know that. I mean, for 63 days, 9 weeks, it's been happening in Portland.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one night in Chicago, 49 officers were injured, but no limit to protests. But boy, you can't go to church on Sunday.
What was this?
I don't know how many times I can answer that. I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm just going to tell you.
You've opined on a lot of things, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, but I've never.
This is something that directly impacts the spread of the virus, and I'm asking your position on the protest.
Yeah, I'm not going to opine on limiting anything. I'm telling you what it is, the danger. And you can make your own conclusion about that. You should stay away from crowds, no matter where the crowds are.
Government has stopped people from going to work. In fact, just in New Jersey 4 days ago, Ian Smith, Frank Trombetta were arrested for opening up, for trying to operate their business, their gym. They were arrested. But my bet is if these two individuals own this gym were outside just in front of their gym, and all the people who were working out in their gym were outside protesting, they'd been just fine. But because they were in the gym working out, actually running their business, they got arrested. Do you think that's okay?
You know, I'm not going to opine on who gets arrested and who does not. I mean, you get where I'm going. I'm telling you, as a public health official, I say crowds.
Do you see the inconsistency, though, Dr. Fauci?
There's no inconsistency, Congressman.
So you're allowed to protest millions of people on one day in crowds yelling, screaming, but you try to run your business, you get arrested? And if you stood right outside of that same business and protested, you wouldn't get arrested? You don't see an inconsistency there?
I don't understand what you're asking me as a public health official to opine on who should get arrested or not. That's not my position. You could ask
me. No, you've advocated for certain businesses to be shut down. I'm just asking you on your position on the protest. I haven't seen one. We've heard a lot about hair salons. I haven't seen one hairstylist who, between haircuts, goes out and attacks police or sets something on fire. But we've seen all kinds of that stuff during protests, and we know the protests actually increase the spread of the virus. You've said that.
I said crowds. I didn't say specifically. I didn't say protest do anything.
So the protests don't.
Oh, you splitting hairs, you motherfucker.
You're putting words in my mouth.
Crowds,
protesters. I just want an answer to the question. Do the protests increase the spread of the virus?
I don't have any scientific evidence on anything. I can tell you that crowds are known, particularly when you don't have a mask, to increase the acquisition and transmission. No matter what.
So you don't have a position on whether the protests increase the spread of the virus or don't increase the spread of the virus.
I'm saying that crowds, wherever the crowds are, can give you an increased probability that there's going to be acquisition and transmission.
But do you understand Americans' concern? Protesting, particularly according to the Democrats, is just fine, but you can't go to work, you can't go to school, you can't go to church. There's limits placed on all three of those activities, First Amendment activities.
That's it.
For protesting is just fine.
Hey, Benoit, can you pause it for a second? Benoit, can you pause it for a second? Who's that congressman grilling Fauci there? What's his name again?
Jim Jordan, I think, is his name.
Yeah,
Jim
what
Jordan.
A legend.
Sounds like Jim Jones. JJ.
What a legend. What a legend, given Fauci. That was awesome.
He only has the guy too much credit for doing the right thing once in his life. be honest.
I don't like politicians, but this congressman seems like he's on the fucking ball. This guy, Jim.
There's got to be one congressman that's on the ball. It can't all be stooges.
Yeah.
So good on
exactly.
him.
That was fucking awesome. I love to hear Fauci squirm. That piece of shit.
This was like,
yeah.
It'll be
a special place in hell for him.
You bet.
They got an electric chair ready for him when he goes upstairs or downstairs, whichever way he goes. They're gonna send him right to the basement when he gets if he dares go up. They'll send him right to the basement.
Many years ago, I did read the book The Diving Comedy by Dante Infernos, as it is better known.
Okay.
And there are all kinds of specific torture for all kinds of specific people in that book. I think that this guy has something special reserved for him, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't believe in torture, but I would put him in a dark room, and with no music, nothing, and just leave him to his own thoughts. This bastard is a bastard, and same with Bill Gates.
Special
he should place. Be in a dark room left with his own thoughts. Yeah.
But I do believe that Bill Gates was doomed to hell since I had a Windows phone, so I've been cursing Bill Gates.
Both of them should hang from their toenails for a long time.
Thinking of all the torture techniques of these bastards.
All the silent people suffering that are fakeologists. And you see them on Anna's channel. These people are suffering in so many ways.
Oh, man, I watched a couple of those videos. Anna Breeze we're talking about here. Yeah, oh, man. I'm going to send a couple of mine into her.
Oh, I'd love it. Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. Oh, good, do it. Try and make them 5 minutes, because some of the ones that go on and on and on, they're kind of boring. But I think she'll definitely take at least 5 minutes. That'd be great.
Yeah, well,
get your stuff together.
Mm. Yeah, well, I don't consider myself boring. I think I try to...
No, you'd be great. Can you drop a Fakeologist and Fakotube in there?
Of course I will. Yes. Yeah, I've got a new one that I still haven't... like John Le Bon said last Saturday night that he didn't post a video. I've still got one on my phone. With a stranger that I interviewed about the coronavirus. So,
I'll promote the hell out of it.
Yeah, of course. Exclusive. Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
I'll do it.
You know me.
Anna Breeze and
you're not shy.
I am not shy.
Jerry, you should do one too. Jerry, that would be great promotion. Do it.
I am no shrinking violet. Hey, Jerry,
She says she puts everything up like the Fakeologist audio chat. Let's see if she's telling the truth. Because some people are already thinking she's controlled. There's already a thread on Reddit questioning whether she's controlled.
Yes.
Well, they said she worked for the BBC. My mother worked for the BBC. My mother worked with the BBC, and my mother was as honest as the day is long. If you fucked up, she'd tell you. I think this Anna Breeze sounds on the level to me. Yeah.
Would you say she's a breeze of fresh air?
Well, to me, she is.
Well, you guys are both okay with putting your face out there, which is fantastic. So I challenge you both to do something really eloquent, concise. Try and get a lot of Fakeologists in there. And let's see if she puts it up. I'm really curious to know. I would hate to think that all these people that are on there are all employees of the BBC. That would make me very sad.
Mm-hmm. So I would type on Google as we speak, send video to Anna Breeze.
The details are on her channel. She has a WhatsApp. She has another. I don't know why she doesn't take them via email, but, you know, you could put it on YouTube and just give her the link as well. There's a million ways to do it.
That's what I'll do. Yeah. I'll do it that way.
Yeah, that way That, yeah, you're smart enough.
I've got WhatsApp on my phone. I've got WhatsApp on my phone, but I'll
but
do
I don't
it
know.
On YouTube.
I don't know. I'm going to try and add her phone to my WhatsApp, but I've never actually done that. I think you got to put her in your contact, and then WhatsApp will just make the connection. You can't just send a WhatsApp.
Well,
to
I use WhatsApp when I was in Colombia with Gaia. And, to talk to my wife and I use Line. There's another, app called Line.
Use Signal. There's Signal. Yeah. Did you put Signal on? Signal's good.
No, is it good? Yeah Signal. Thank you.
It's a WhatsApp knockup. Do you have Signal, Jelly? Signal?
No.
They said it's big in the EU. They said it's widely used in the EU. It's called Signal.
Yes.
Take a look.
Yes. I'm kind of a lone wolf, and I don't really use any. I don't have TikTok, for example, which is all the craze. So.
Yeah, speak up a bit, Jerry. You're low.
Yes, I'm trying. I'm still trying to find the way to reach this analysis.
No, if you go on her YouTube channel, she gives the instructions on how to reach her.
Yeah, I read it, and I tried calling the number actually on WhatsApp. That number.
Yeah. And what happened?
And I didn't get any response, but, keep trying.
Maybe she doesn't answer it. Maybe she doesn't answer it. Just send her the video.
But what I will do, I'm cleverer than that. I will post my latest, video, on YouTube and keep it private, and then I'll send her the message somehow. I'll type a comment in the comment section. It'll be simple. Yeah. And if she wants to play it, it's like,
well, you know,
I mean,
what? You should first do it the way you're supposed to. I know you're notorious for not reading instructions. Try and do it the proper way. Do it the right way first, and then if you don't get a response, then do it your way.
Exactly. Yeah. It did the piggyback. You remember when I piggybacked on the John Lawrence? It's pretty funny. Oh,
I did,
yeah.
Yeah, you're the man.
I'm
in my driveway, so I'm going to probably
you done?
Go for a walk or water the lawn or get my dinner
well,
ready.
Make sure you post that Chris Kendall sister video, audio. I'm very interested to hear that.
It's going to be behind the paywall. It'll be $300.
That's all right. Dude, your $300 still coming your way, mate. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes, so we will finish that one on one of those Anna Breeze short video. That one is your long lost brother, Olof. He looked like you a bit. If you look
which
at the video,
which one was that? What was the guy's name? I'll take a look at it again.
Tim is 64 from Salisbury. That's all the.
Oh, that guy was great. That guy was great. He's the one with the black armband, right?
That's probably him. We are about to listen to him, so you will know.
Yeah, I'm going to. I think I'm going to do that. He says, go ahead, you can wear the mask, but we need to let everyone know we're against it. So if you wear a black armband, I thought that wasn't a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. Can you walk around with a black armband and then people will ask you why you're wearing a black armband? I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's listen to that guy to finish this excellent
all
video.
All right.
This excellent video.
By the way, his video was cut off, and she says she doesn't edit the video, so that I'd like an explanation why his video got cut off. It just ends in the middle of a sentence.
Maybe the guy stopped recording that way. I don't know. I don't really know.
Check it out.
So let's listen to that guy, and thank you again for reacting on the spot to that Lebanon event.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. More of these. We need more of these. More fakeologist audios.
Yes, that was because of the explosion. The explosion was just so out of this world.
Maybe it was out of this world. Maybe it was in the Hollywood world.
Yes, definitely. So anyway, bye everyone, and let's listen to
Au revoir.
Gail from Salisbury. Bonne soirée.
Hello, Anna. My name's Tim. I'm 64 years old. I live in Salisbury. I'm still working. First of all, thanks to you for doing this, and thanks to all those people who are sending in videos. I could talk for hours about this, but I'm not going to do it because I don't see how much more I can add to what has already been said. I can only say I so much agree with everybody. I do agree and sympathize so much with everybody. I've been feeling terrible about this whole thing since the beginning, and it's just shaping up exactly as I thought it would. It's so scary. However, I had another idea. I thought, why don't I try and make a suggestion that might be helpful to us all? I think we need to know how many we are, and I think the government and the mainstream media need to know how many we are, and we need to get that across to them in a way that they can't ignore and will be evident to the entire public simultaneously, so that everybody can see it all the time, without it being, say, a demonstration or starting a political party or whatever it may be. Actually, Freedom for Britain, Keep Britain Free, sorry. Keep Britain Free is something
that, you're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Everybody can see all the time by default.
Those idiots don't even know where we live.
If you had, say, black skin, or if you had blonde hair, or everybody could see it all the time. And you wouldn't need to remark about it. We wouldn't even have a conversation about it. You just know immediately, and it's always visible because it's always there. And I thought, maybe then we'd see how many we are just in the street, just walking down the street. You just see how many of us there are, if this were to catch on. So I thought, we need to show each other how many we are so that this will raise our morale, but it will also spook the spooks. And I think the rest of the general public will begin to wonder, what are they all doing? Why are they all wearing that? And more people want to know why we're wearing this sign that they can all see without our having to get into an argument. So it would mean that if you feel that you are going to have to put that mask on to go into a shop, don't worry, put the bloody mask on, do the bit of shopping, come out, but wear this so that everyone can see it wherever you go. At work if you want to, you know. So I suggest wearing a black armband. I am wearing a black armband now. I don't know if you can see that, but anyway, doesn't matter. I'm wearing a black armband. And I'll be wearing this everywhere I go in future, including at work. If people ask me, I it's quite likely I'll say, why don't you go away and think about it? To make them think about it. As a matter of fact, you know, I spent a few years as a teacher, and obviously getting people to work things out for themselves is better than just telling them. If you tell them straight, they just tend to forget, you know. But if you make them work it out, they feel a kind of sense of, you know, kind of reward, you know, a sense of, I figured that out. And then they remember it better. Why don't we all just wear black armbands, which are kind of appropriate because it's like in mourning for something which is being destroyed and killed before our eyes, which it is. It is. It is. And, you know, then we'd see each other. And maybe it would catch on. Maybe you'd end up in a situation where maybe two-thirds of the people you saw in the street were in a black armband. You know, I mean, if only. You know, that's rather sort of wishful, longing thinking. But, you know, maybe we can show them how many we are. Maybe we can actually kind of make them think again about what they're up against. Because I think, you know, in a country of... It's 66 million odd, is it now, or 67 million, it's going that way. Those of us who object, we must be tens of millions. But we don't know that, you know, we can't see each other, we can see each other here, but it's, you know, it would be great if we could really show all the time, wherever we go, how many we are, so that they can...
That's all, folks.